on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a lot of Syracuse alum. I know lots of Syracuse alum, especially in our business. And they're fired up, and why not? Dino's so great. Dino, believe it or not, is 61. If you look at this guy, there is nothing in terms of appearance or sound or energy or vibe that would suggest that. Love Dino Babers. Welcome back. All right, we start our third and final hour. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you need cash out of your home or a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Third hour is now wide open. We've had two really good college football interviews. Tom Allen and Dino Babers, both undefeated. Indiana and Syracuse both have big games coming up. The Q's on a Friday night inside their dome. You know he's looking for that energy. I like that energy. 1-800-636-8686. How about tonight's matchup? Are you feeling that energy or that matchup at all? I'll tell you, there's some bad energy. There's bad energy with the Browns. There's bad energy in C-Town for the Browns. Understandably so. Bad energy when Myles Garrett blames the fans and points the finger at the fans when they have the biggest meltdown ever. And I don't say that for hyperbole. That was the biggest meltdown ever. You can make that argument. Again, yesterday I mentioned this. I'll say it again right now. They had a 99.9% win probability. And they had it against the Jets. And they had it against the Jets and their 37-year-old backup. And they lost. And then Myles Garrett, as great a player as he is,
I'm going to.
Had the nad to stand up and call out the fans for booing them. Never mind that nobody's been through more than Browns fans. I mean, from having their team ripped from them, their owner and his Bruce Scrotum, the team leaves under the cover of night, they finally get football back, and we don't even need to go into all the absolutely catastrophic things that have happened to that team. Believe me, there's no better fan base than the Browns. So if you're going to blow a 13-point lead with less than 2 minutes to go at home and they boo you, you bleeping wear that. Even if you're as good a player as Myles Garrett, you wear that. If you're the worst player ever, you wear that. If you're the best player ever, you wear that. So that the energy there is not good. Then you've got the Steelers. And anybody who has anything to do with that offense right now apparently is not happy with that offense right now. Even Mitch Trubisky. Never mind that it all starts with you, Mitchell. You don't look any different or any better than you ever weren't with Chicago. And yet, speculation is he's not happy with the offense. You blame me, Mitch. They're not happy with you either. So is he, I was going to say, is he already on a short leash? Hell yes, obviously. The question is, how short? If you want to get into that matchup, we can. Big Head and I may or may not on Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. Other NBA notes, somehow, some way we got to the third hour without getting into this, so let's get into this. Actually, let me double back and get into this both at the same time. Show of hands really quickly. Who was expecting September 21st to be the most eventful day of the NBA offseason? I'm going to say the number of hands that are in the air right now, it's probably 0.0.
0.0.
September 21st, a date on the calendar that is typically all about the NFL, Major League Baseball, and of course, earth, wind, and fire. I don't know how I've done this as long as I have, and we skip over that conveniently every single year, but luckily somebody pointed this out yesterday. So, earth, wind, and fire. It's always good to start a new tradition 35 years into the main thing. I like that. I like that. So, the NBA news yesterday was less earth, wind, and fire. You know, more good, bad, and scummy. The good, the bad, and the scummy. It started with the good, which came in the form of a statement from Suns owner Robert Sarver. Quote, as a man of faith, I believe in atonement. and the path to forgiveness. I expected that the commissioner's one-year suspension would provide the time for me to focus, make amends, and remove my personal controversy from the teams that I and so many fans love. But in our current unforgiving climate, it has become painfully clear that this is no longer possible, that whatever good I've done or could still do is outweighed by things I've said in the past. For those reasons, I'm beginning the process of seeking buyers for the Suns and Mercury. That actually is the good, the bad, and the scummy all rolled into one. I mean, are you kidding me with a statement like that? What garbage. The only good in that came at the very end when he said, I am beginning the process of selling the Suns and Mercury, which is not good enough, not nearly good enough. It's good that he's doing, but not good enough that he's starting the process. How about him starting that statement with, I'm a man of faith, and I believe in amends and atonement? No, you don't. You don't think you did anything wrong. You're not sorry for anything. You can tell by the statement. You are not sorry for anything other than the position you're in. I know you're not sorry for what you said. I know you're not sorry for what you did. And I'm not even saying allegedly. I'm talking about things that an NBA investigation uncovered. I'm not even talking about an ESPN report from back in the day. I mean, that essentially was the NBA version of Chunk Gruden's. I'm a good person. I go to church.
What? I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married.
You know, again, oh, why didn't you say so? Yeah, like Chunky, the actual behavior does not really exactly line up with that whole holy man thing. Gruden reportedly goes with racist, misogynistic, and homophobic emails. Sarver, though, goes next level with it, bringing racist, misogynistic, and homophobic behavior into the workplace. Behavior, not just emails. You know, the kind of behavior that was documented in both an ESPN report and, as I mentioned, an independent NBA investigation. Now, despite all that initially, Commissioner Ears decided not to go Donald Sterling on Sarver and suspend him for life.
For life.
No, he just waited. Adam Silver waited. He waited for players, sponsors, even a co-owner to come back and push back and pile on and pressure. And then Silver gets more involved. Remember, Silver was acting like, hey, there's only so much I can do here, all right? He's an owner. Yeah, it's not what you said when Donald Sterling went Donald Sterling. What do you mean there's only so much you can do here? And he only did so much. That was a slap on the wrist initially. A one-year ban, a $10 million fine, but he still owned the team. I mean, really, how much of a punishment was that? Hell, he tried to get the guy back in the fold. A ridiculous slap on the wrist. One-year suspension, $10 million fine, still got to own the team, just couldn't come around for a while. As I mentioned before, $10 million is walk-around money to that guy, and we all know how fast time goes. What's a year? I mean, even that guy knows, the commissioner knows, he mishandled that because he had almost nothing to say when this went down yesterday. How brief a statement is this? Quote, I fully support the decision by Robert Sarver to sell the Phoenix Suns and Mercury. This is the right next step for the organization and community. End of quote. That's what you have to say. That. A comically brief comment for something so significant to the association. But then again, what the hell was the commissioner going to say now after he tried to bring Sarver back in the first place? Good riddance, get lost, do not let the door hit you. Because I'll say it again, this dude is not sorry. He's not sorry for what he said. He's not sorry for what he did. He's sorry that he's in the position he's in right now. Believe me, this guy's not saying, I accept it. I feel horrible about it. I'm going to do the right thing and sell these teams. He doesn't feel that way at all. he's only sorry that the teams are getting ripped from him. Again, the league found a decade-long pattern of him using racial slurs, making, quote, sex-related comments and inappropriate observations on the appearances of his employees. Like, if this dude was going for the triple crown of completely offensive workplace behavior, he just knocked it down like Devin Booker nailing a three. Oh, but my bad, Bob. You just said it. You're a man of faith. So it's all good, right?
What?
Yeah, like sure. I spent the last decade making racist comments and treating people horribly in the workplace, but I go to church, so we're good, right?
I go to church.
One more thing. I want to double back to this. How about the part of the comment where he says, quote, but in our current unforgiving climate, it has become painfully clear that that is no longer possible, that whatever good I have done or could still do is outweighed by things that I've said in the past, end of quote. I mean, you want to talk about delusional. There is so much wrong with that quote. I mean, I could break that thing down word by word. I could break that down frame by frame, like it's the Zapruder film or something. Bob, I'm not going to do that. Let me just say this. Dude, you are not on your way out because of cancel culture. You canceled yourself, period. Similar actions by a CEO of any company or anyone with a leadership position in organization would have led to them being fired immediately. The so-called woke mob did not come after you. You and you alone are solely responsible for all of this. Nobody did anything to you. You did this to yourself. I mean, this lack of self-awareness coming off that statement is incredible. Because when the Suns are sold, that team is going to go for something in the neighborhood of $2 billion with a B or more. So you're walking away with a dump truck filled with Benjamins. You're anything but canceled. You know what was unforgiving? He's talking about how unforgiving everybody is. You know what was unforgiving? Your constant verbal abuse that your employees were subjected to based on your warped view of what was acceptable in the workplace. Like, this was Donald Sterling all over again, except Sarver was not caught on tape and there were no references to the silly wabbit. Silver works for all the owners. But he created a path that would have allowed someone to behave like this and keep his team. He was going to keep the team. It was only after an outcry from the players, including his own star player, CP3, and the sponsors, and one of his own co-owners, before this dude finally got the message. So no, it was not cancel culture or the woke mob. It was the players, including your own, the other owners, including your own, and the sponsors. And no credit to Silver for the way he handled this. Sarver needs to take his dough, hit the bricks, and the commissioner needs to stop talking out of both sides of his mouth. This had to be. The result is accurate, but it shouldn't have taken this long. And now you're done.
Now I'm done.
So, and thanks for beginning the process. Hurry up and speed up the process. Finish this thing up so we can all move the hell on. Shouldn't be that hard to find buyers. Should not be that hard to find buyers. Great franchise, great location. If you put the same effort you did into making misogynistic and sexual comments to your staffers as you could in looking for buyers, this team would have been sold by now already. In fact, I'll throw my hat in. I'm game. I'm in. If any ownership group that is forming that wants Van Smack, count me in. I'll sell the Cali house. I'll sell the Wisconsin house. I'll rip the college savings from the kids. I mean, Jake's only got one more year left anyway. And let's face it, Logan's not getting in any good school. I'll sell my stake and my horses. Anything to speed this thing up. And then once you're done, Robert Slurver, you can go back to playing the victim card and talk about how you got canceled. September 21st. Who would have ever known that this would be that bad of a day in the NBA? It was, too. All right. Couple more things. You have your phone number. You know where to find me on social. I don't want this getting lost in all of this. Did a great episode of the Jim Rome podcast. Yes, I've got, I don't know, 50 podcasts now. A really good one with Chris Long. Great episode with Chris Long. Ep 236 is live. Look for that. Not just yet. Not during the show, but after the show, during your commute, maybe when you're at the gym over the weekend. Great conversation with Chris Long. Class act. We talked gambling. And we talked about some of the matchups around the league. And speaking of gambling, we haven't done it yet, but we will. The Big Head and I are going to track episode 3 of Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. And that's probably going to happen in about the next 90 minutes or so. Getting a lot done on this Thursday. Let's get a short timeout in here, Albie. When we come back, why don't we talk about the matchup tonight? Or the Lakers. Lakers not moving first-round picks. The NFL action is in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Plus, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why would you bet on football anyplace else? Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code ROME to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You do have to be present in the state where it's lawful to wager, 21 or older in most eligible states. Age does vary by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. 10-plus leg required for 100% boost. Opt-in required. Deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions do apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms. Omega Accounting Solutions is helping businesses nationwide with more than 5 but less than 500 employees qualify for a tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee. Find out if your business qualifies today. Call toll-free 800-704-2000 or go online to OmegaTaxCredits.com. You know why I always sound so authoritative when I talk about them? Because I talk to them all the time. And I do. Great company, great product, and they can help you get a lot of money back. You should find out whether or not you qualify. Call that number. All right, so really quickly, I grew up as a big boxing guy. Loved boxing. Loved boxing. Some of my fondest memories as a kid growing up was watching fights with my old man. Loved it. He loved the fight game. I loved the fight game. I can remember, I'm dating myself, but my father used to go to fights at the old Olympic Auditorium in downtown L.A. I mean, great fights, like Bobby Chacon, Danny Little Red Lopez. Sugar Ray Leonard was always my favorite fighter growing up. Love Ray Leonard. I loved boxing. Loved it. Then the world changed, and all of a sudden you get exposed to MMA and UFC. And I remember a lot, there was a lot of pushback at the time. But although that was really different than boxing, I actually started to like that a lot. But I didn't choose between the two. I still love them both. I would argue that MMA and UFC is better in the sense that, and say what you want about Dana White, and people do and people have, at least in UFC, the very best fight the very best. And it happens all the time. It almost never happens in boxing now. Super fights in boxing just don't get made. But I still love both sports, which brings me to this. So I'm on record. I love boxing. I love MMA. In news, however, that nobody wants to hear, myself included, Floyd Mayweather said it looks like there's going to be a rematch of that 2017 bout with Conor McGregor. Money Mays said, quote, "We don't know if it's going to be an exhibition or a real fight." He added, quote, "And I'm not into fights where I am going to take any real punishment," end of quote. I mean, a couple of thoughts. Number one, yes, I will own that I was kind of into that when it happened back then. I was sort of into it back then because I was really into Conor McGregor back then. Because Conor McGregor was still Conor McGregor back then. And that was before everybody started making these cash grabs that they're making right now. So I'm not going to be disingenuous and say, hey, Rome, that's not what you said back then. Yeah, I was sort of into it. And I wasn't totally and completely infuriated by it, even after I paid for it. But that was then, and this is now. And listen to what Floyd just said. Like, I almost respect it. The hell is that, other than brutally honest? He just said, I'm not really into fights where I could take any punishment. It's an incredible thing to say. The reason we pay good money is to watch guys fight and watch guys get knocked the hell out. That's why we pay good money. May you know that. If there's no risk of somebody possibly not getting their lights turned out or getting knocked the hell out, then there's no reason to watch, much less any reason to give you even one dime of our money. If the first fight was the biggest cash grab ever, what the hell would you call the sequel 5 years later? Other than the worst idea ever and the biggest insult to our intelligence ever. Look, I'm going to take nothing away from Floyd, who is one of the greatest ever. I'd argue that Floyd is the greatest defensive fighter I've ever seen. Remember how I said that Sex has not only never lost, but never even lost a round, nor even ever gotten hit? Floyd was so good defensively that he would go entire fights without losing rounds and really almost never ever even getting hit. He was that good defensively. And you could also turn that on its head and argue that, yeah, well, he never took any chances. Yeah, but he was undefeated. And he was an amazing fighter. But when he says now, hey, listen, I'm not in this to take any unnecessary chances or risks, wasn't his entire actual boxing career about taking fights where he wasn't going to take any real punishment? Yeah, I know. If you look at who he fought, you could try to argue that's bullcrap, Rome. Look at who he fought. I'd say sure, but look at when he fought those guys that he fought. I mean, isn't it like, didn't he wait like 20 years for Manny Pacquiao to finally age out before he finally did fight him? So if you're on record as saying you don't want to put yourself in harm's way, exactly what the hell are we getting in return for our investment? What are we getting? He even said it. I don't even know if it's a real fight. I don't know if it's an exhibition. I just know I don't want to get hurt. So what do we get? What are you giving us in return for our investment of time and money? A couple of dudes hugging it out for an hour. There are a lot cheaper ways for me to find that on the internet. My man, do not waste our time. Don't waste your time. Don't waste my time. Floyd, you're above this. You're above this. Or at least I thought you were.
Diamonds on my wrist.
I mean, I know you're a businessman, but we may have been dumb enough to do this once, but we're not doing that again. I mean, sad enough to see the likes of Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson humiliating themselves by lowering themselves to this. You, my man, are boxing royalty. But this is where you're headed. I want to remember you for the great fighter that you were. And the last thing I want to see is you and the guy that Dana White glossed, Oscar De La Cokehead. Touch gloves at age 60 in an attempt to pad your bank account and remain relevant. My man. Move on to the next thing. You had your time. It was an amazing time. I mean, I'd almost rather you punch me in the face and just rip my wallet from me than subject me to this and ask me to pay for this, because I'm not going to, and I don't see why anybody else would either. That's the worst idea ever, I think. I even understand, like, Jake Paul and what he does and his brand and what he brings to it and the way he goes about it. Never mind that he won't fight an actual boxer. I even understand that. But this I have no tolerance for, Floyd. You and Connor, we're not doing that. Unless you want to agree to fight by his terms. Let it go to the mat. Then we may have something, Floyd. Now, I know you won't do that because you just said you're not putting yourself in harm's way. But I'll tell you what. If the fight is allowed to go to the ground, you have my money. Then you have my interest. Then we can watch that. Then I'm sure a lot of people would agree. Put that fight. Don't step between the ropes. Step into the cage. And then fight MMA rules. And then I think you probably would have some people that might be interested. Otherwise, it's just the worst idea ever. All right, how about TNF? How are you playing that game tonight? Who do you like? How are you going to play that game? Are you going to watch that game? Are you checking out Amazon? Prime Video. Are you one of those old folks who had trouble finding the game? Did you call your kid up and say, I can't find it? It's not on TV. Where is it? How do I get it? How do I get this internet thingamajig? Actually, I put a pretty good number last week. What are you going to do with that? 1-800-636-8686. Or if you just want to go in a different direction altogether, we have one last segment. Do what you want with it. Look who's back. Romy's my homie. Yeah, we stopped there for a minute. I don't want to reset exactly what she said, but Abigail had one of the most unbelievable submissions yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was during the beef segment. Unbelievable. Like, Abby, I'm glad that you didn't, but you easily could have walked off on that one.
Unbelievable.
And now she's back. Check her out. Abigail writes, same here, Jimmers. Watched a lot of Leonard and Hagler fights. Hagler was my guy. Boxing sucks now. Way too much corruption. Hagler was my dude, too. I loved Hagler. Hagler, Brockton Mass, the Pigeons, Vito Antifuermo. You like that, Chalk? You like that? Oh, yeah. My man used to bleed, too. Vito. That's a great name.
You like that? You
like Look that? It up. He was tough. And, of course, one of the biggest controversies in the history of boxing, Ray Leonard coming out of retirement to beat Hagler after he'd been away for 5 years. Everybody thought he was absolutely out of his mind. But I told you, growing up and as a young man, I loved Ray. I still love Ray. Ray Leonard is one of my favorite athletes ever. Ever. In terms of his charisma, his athleticism. And the thing about Ray, those who know. But Ray didn't really get as much respect as he did get. He didn't get the respect that he deserved because he was almost too handsome, if you know what I mean. Like, this dude's grit was incredible. Incredible. When Ray looked like he had nothing left, this guy could find, like, a level of reserve. You know, you think about round 14 against Thomas Hearns. You think about the way he comes out of retirement after the detached retina, and he beats Hagler. And I stand by this. Fight fans, it's a reason to go. Fight fans who know that fight, who think that Hagler won, will go if you tell them Ray Leonard won. I've always maintained that Ray won. Maybe I was kind of thinking more with my heart than my head, and there were definitely style points. Ray knew how to win the crowd over, but that was an amazing fight. Hagler-Hearns was one of the greatest fights ever, and it was three rounds. So that, good times. In terms of Abby and the take that she could have walked off on, Abby said this. Abby did this yesterday during the beef segment, in case you missed it. She writes, and I quote, this is during the beef segment, Jimmers, I got hashtag beef. I like that she hashtagged that. Like, so that makes it legit. I got hashtag beef with dorks that gargle Listerine. Look, pylons, I'd rather smell post-coital morning Jägermeister breath than that green bottle of decomposing hooker juice. What, Jeffrey Dahmer doesn't want any of that? Signed, Abby in Dahmer, Diego.
War Lady clones.
3 decades of extremely crass dudes faxing me, texting me, emailing me, tweeting me 3 hours of every day for 3 decades. And I'm not sure I've seen anything quite like that. And that's the lady clone, Abigail. Incredible.
War lady clones.
Abby, is that just a Listerine thing? Like, does Scope also fall into that? And what other mouthwashes are there besides those two? How about like the generic store brand? Is that also a reason to coital or go? Banaca. How good is Banaca? I know you don't feel that way about Banaca. Now we're getting somewhere. Banaca. Tin of Altoids did not want any of that. Tic Tacs. Tic Tacs are slightly ass. How about the flavored Tic Tacs? Still better than the non-flavored Tic Tacs. I'm saying Banaca, top shelf. Until the little spray runs out. How about those pyros that used to light the match and then Banaca the match? All right, Albie, thank you very much. With that, we get out. Abby. Abby makes it better. Abby makes it better. Abby's just playing a different game. Abby's playing at a different speed. She's got a different gear. In fact, she ain't playing at all. Here is your sports update. All right, so one last segment. You know what I like? This is kind of fun. The old school is coming around and talking boxing off that last segment. Let me give you some reaction really quickly. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Edward Perez tweets, Hagler v. Mugabe was amazing. Ray was at ringside. He saw Mugabe damage Hagler by slowing the pace of the fight. He went with that strategy and he won it. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Remember John the Beast Mugabe? He was great. God, but boxing back then was so amazing. And I used to love talking to fighters. I used to love being around the fighters. They were great to have on the shows, the radio show, the TV show. Ed Works Sucks book. Hey, Roe MG. I used to watch boxing on ABC's Wide World of Sports. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat with my old man on Saturdays as a boy. Some of my best memories. Wilfred Benitez, Arguello, Aaron Pryor, Matthew Saad Muhammad, Sugar Ray. All great fighters. All great fighters. Benitez. Benitez, if memory serves, was a world champion at age 17. Incredible fighter. Arguello was an amazing fighter. Aaron Pryor, all energy. I mean, he was insane. Matthew Saad Muhammad, Ray Leonard. Chalk says you're right, old man. He was a world champ at 17. Benitez was special, man. He was so great. He was special. Jesse Walnut writes, only Johnny Tapia had more grit than Leonard. Johnny Tapia, I used to say, Johnny Tapia had come on this show. If you're in Albuquerque, of course, you remember back in the day, because Albuquerque is an Original Four affiliate. I've always said this about Johnny Tapia. Of all the athletes I've ever spoken to, I'm not sure of any athlete that lived the life that Johnny Tapia lived. Johnny Tapia passed away about a decade ago, I believe. But he would come on this show and do the most amazing interviews because he was so different and lived such an insane life. Like, I'll never forget him coming on and we talked about how his mother had been killed, and he wanted to find the guy who did it.
It was a big burden on my back. You know what? As a matter of fact, my wife went and she hired some private detectives to open up the case one more time. And then when I found out who killed her, that was the day I fought Paulie Ayala. I didn't train for 2 weeks. I went and rented a hotel. I wanted to go stab this guy the same way he stabbed my mom. I was going to kill him. I told bye to everybody. I was going to really kill him. I was going to take him. I was going to cut him pieces like nothing, like what he did to my mother. But I found out that he got hit by 3 cars and died. But then I found out where his family lived. I was going to go get them too. But by the grace of God, we just let it go. And the guy got taken care of by the grace of God by getting hit 3 times. And it wasn't right to go after his family because, you know what, it would have been my stupid part, but I would have made a big mess, believe me.
Johnny, I'm scared to think, had he not died in a car wreck, had he been alive?
I'd have killed him. I'd have killed him easy. No question that. Like chewing bubble gum, I'd have killed him. Right away, I would have killed him.
I'm not in any way trying to sensationalize that. I loved Johnny Tapia as a fighter, and especially as a fighter. You never saw a guy as tough as Johnny Tapia. He just kept coming forward. I mean, he was the epitome of a guy that would take 2 shots to give one and always came forward. But is that not some of the rawest tape you've ever heard? That's not something I lifted from the internet. He came on this show and he said that and described what it was like. And that was just a part of his life. So many guys in boxing. So many great, great interviews. Hey, Rome, the days of Ali Frazier genre are long dead. Matt in Grand Junction. War Pickett getting his shot tonight. Maybe. Of course, James in Portland wants to add to this conversation. I'm going to read this the way it's written. Jimmy, my man. Loved boxing growing up. I was an Arturo Gatti guy. Dude left the ring more swollen than Alvin's junk in his skinny jeans. Come on!
Come on.
Jimmy, my man.
Dude.
That's true. Gatti would bleed quite a bit and leave it all out there. Used to love having Ray Mancini on this program. Bringing back good memories. And listen, Dana White used to teach boxing when he came up. Dana White was a big boxing guy. I'm sure Dana White would still tell you, I like boxing. I love boxing. Part of the way I came up, part of the reason I got my breaks was back in the day, especially Top Rank. Top Rank was really good about affording media opportunities. It's one of my favorite stories. I've said it before. Whenever, and I haven't talked to Al Bernstein in a couple of years, but whenever I do, Al and I always talk about it. Al's always great about this. Al has had a Hall of Fame career, and he and I were always friends, and he always came on the program. But incredibly enough, this is insane to me, and I think it was Top Rank. When I worked at 690 AM, I would go to Vegas and cover the fights. I would go to Atlantic City and cover the fights. I remember even going to Tahoe to cover fights. But they once said to me, because they knew, I love Terry Norris. Terry Norris was from San Diego, and I worked at 690 in San Diego, and Terry Norris was one of my favorite athletes, not just fighters. I loved Terry Norris, loved him. And they said, do you want to come and broadcast the fight? Do you want to air the fight on radio? I said, what are you talking about here? You can do play-by-play, Rome. You guys can carry the fight. Would you like to broadcast the fight on radio? I'm like, hell yes. You're telling me I can do play-by-play for a Terry Norris fight. And if I'm not mistaken, it was against Meldrick Taylor. And Al Bernstein was my color guy. We were like ringside, but not right between or near the ropes, but close enough. And Al and I for years always talked about that and what a kick that was and how much fun that was. That's how much I love boxing. But I look back on my career and all the great things I did or I've had the opportunity to see and do. That was one of my favorite days of my entire career. We did a fight on the radio, like some Don Dunphy stuff or something. I did play-by-play for a fight from Vegas. And it worked. Like, it wasn't horrible. And I'd be the first one to say, dude, you would not believe how horrible I was at that. It actually came off pretty well. Oh, dear Jim, today marks an important anniversary in the jungle. A day when a man dressed head to toe in orange stood in front of an orange backdrop and belted out one of the greatest verbal onslaughts in recorded history. Mike Gundy's Supernova Rant turns 15 today. The man who brought the jungle such hits as fat, garbage, and makes me want to puke. Never before or since has a person blown their stack more effortlessly or hilariously. Thanks, Mike. Signed, Tristan in Maine. War being a 40-year-old man.
This was brought to me by a mother of children. It's fiction. And that article had to have been written by a person that doesn't have a child. If your child goes down the street and somebody makes fun of him because he dropped a pass in a pickup game or says he's fat, and he comes home crying to his mom, you'd understand. That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And garbage. The editor that let it come out is garbage. Garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. So get your facts straight. And I hope someday you have a child and somebody downgrades him and belittles him and you have to look him in the eye and say, you know what? It's okay. Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me? Makes me want to puke.
Happy anniversary, legend. You're not a man. You're a goat. You are the goat. You're a 55-year-old goat.
40.
55.
40.
Goat.
40.
You're not fat. And not only is this guy not fat, have you seen the video of Gundy doing those one-arm push-ups on the field? Incredible. He looks awesome. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, I should say, Coach. Thanks for the memories. War being a 55-year-old man. Goat. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and inexperienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Another strong day. I want to first off acknowledge and thank the XR4TI. Not you, Rit. And actually, you know what, Rit? You did do a good job today. Nice job, Chalk. Nice job, Alvy. Good job, everybody. My thanks to Dino Babers and Tom Allen. Look for Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. We're going to push that out shortly. See ya.